listeners. Nicole Olstead here with Sharon Gamble on the Sweet Selah Moments podcast. We are so pleased you found us. Sharon and I pray that these episodes encourage you to learn alongside us how to be still and get to know the God who loves you. In this season, we are studying the stories of Jesus and his encounters with women. Today, in episode 160, Don't Give Up, we are talking about the Gentile woman with the demon-possessed daughter. Sharon, tell us about both these ladies and where in the Bible we find their encounter with Jesus.
Well, this particular story has given me so much trouble
over
the years because I was brought up by a very proper British mother and one is always polite. And at first, second, and 17th reading of this passage, it doesn't feel polite. It feels mean when Jesus speaks the way he does, which we're about to read. It has been a long process for me of understanding and appreciating it. And it's why the Bible never gets stale, right?
Yeah.
Because there's a layer and there's another layer and there's another layer. We don't walk away when we don't understand. We just say, I don't get it, Lord. And we keep digging. It's like treasure. The Bible even says it's treasure. Treasure takes work.
Yep.
Right?
It does.
So this one has taken me a lot of work.
Fun.
But it is a wonderful story. And it's we're going to read it in two different Gospels. Mm-hmm. I'll read the Matthew version. You read the Mark version. And our listeners can see if they find it awkward. And then we'll talk about it.
Perfect.
How's that? Okay. But this is the Word of God, whether we find it to our liking or not, right?
Yeah.
So here we are. Matthew 15, 21 through 28. Then Jesus left Galilee and went north to the region of Tyre and Sidon. A Gentile woman who lived there came to him pleading, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David, for my daughter is possessed by a demon that torments her severely." But Jesus gave her no reply, not even a word. Then his disciples urged him to send her away. "Tell her to go away," they said. "She is bothering us with all her begging." Then Jesus said to the woman, "I was sent only to help God's lost sheep, the people of Israel." But she came and worshipped him, pleading again, "Lord, help me." Jesus responded, "It isn't right to take food from the children and throw it to the dogs." She replied, "That's true, Lord, but even dogs are allowed to eat the scraps that fall beneath their master's table." "Dear woman," Jesus said to her, "your faith is great. Your request is granted." And her daughter was instantly healed.
Wow.
I know. What a story.
What a story.
Now let's hear how Mark tells
we'll
it
see
to
if
us.
It sounds a little bit nicer in Mark, but maybe not. So I'm reading from Mark 7, 24 through 30. Then Jesus left Galilee and went north to the region of Tyre. He didn't want anyone to know which house he was staying in, but he couldn't keep it a secret. Right away, a woman who had heard about him came and fell at his feet. Her little girl was possessed by an evil spirit, and she begged him to cast out the demon from her daughter. Since she was a Gentile, born in Syrian Phoenicia, Jesus told her, "First I should feed the children, my own family, the Jews. It isn't right to take food from the children and throw it to the dogs." She replied, "That's true, Lord, but even the dogs under the table are allowed to eat the scraps from the children's plates." "Good answer," he said. "Now go home, for the demon has left your daughter." And when she arrived home, she found her little girl lying quietly in bed, and the demon was gone.
Isn't this the wildest story?
It is. It's not any more comfortable in Mark either.
No, it is not. It's uncomfortable in both. It's just so fascinating to me. So we're first going to look at it from the woman's perspective, like we always do, and a little bit from the daughter's perspective, although she doesn't do much except lay in bed waiting to get better.
Right.
And then we'll talk about it from Jesus' perspective. So I want to get into Jesus' perspective because God's given me even another new thing about it.
Oh, I can't wait.
Has got me so jazzed.
Oh, nice.
But I can't go there first.
Oh, teaser.
I know. First, we have to look at the woman. So why don't you start and tell me what you learn about this woman?
I think the first thing that strikes me about her is her desperation. You can kind of feel her desperation where she found him immediately. She knew where he was staying and she rushes to him. And I'm not sure what was happening around him, but she was rather persistent and with her begging, enough that she annoyed the disciples.
She didn't quit.
No, no. And as a parent, I can feel that. As a mom, if your child is ill, you're willing to do anything to get help for them. So I feel her desperation here as a mom, you know?
Yes, absolutely.
It's
and
kind
he
of...
tried not to let people know where he was.
Right.
So she did. She was a digger. She did some digging to even find out where he was staying.
Asking and searching and looking.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So she's a smart cookie, too.
She is.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that was my first impression of her. The tone is kind of harsh. So I recently, one of our pastors preached about this passage, and he was saying that it probably wasn't as harsh as it sounds on paper.
Mm-hmm.
Again, like some of the words they use in the cultural context really help to understand, like, it sounds awful. Like, he's calling her a dog. That's so mean. But I think that was something they used to kind of banter back and forth, the Jews and the Gentiles.
Uh-huh.
Maybe not banter. Maybe they really meant it.
Yeah. Who knows? Who knows?
Who knows? But maybe it's not as mean as it sounds.
Right. Yes. Well, she was tenacious.
Mm-hmm.
That I noticed too. She was absolutely tenacious about it. And being told she was a dog, or apparently told that, or that at least he wasn't there for her, she still didn't give up.
No.
And what I love in one of the passages you read, she worships him.
Yes.
What is that?
That's interesting.
She worships him. Mm. She doesn't get put off by what he said. She doesn't say, well, because you're not giving it to me, I'm walking away from you. We do that, don't we?
Yeah.
Well, I prayed that, you know, well, I prayed for 6 babies to live that died, right? Mm-hmm. No, 8 babies, 6 of Catherine's and 2 of Mary's. We had so many miscarriages in our family. But here's the deal. After I prayed for baby number 7 and it was time to pray for baby number 8 in the womb, I still chose to pray, right? Yeah. Even though we did not get the answers we wanted, there's a lot of grandbabies in heaven.
Mm.
So she did the same thing. She didn't say, well, forget you. Mm. Instead, she not only kept asking, she worshiped.
Mm.
She basically said, you are God and I am not.
She pressed in closer to him.
She pressed in.
Instead of getting angry and walking
away. It challenges me, Nicole.
Mm-hmm.
Do I believe that he is worthy of worship whether I get my way or not? Whether I feel offended or not. He's either God, really, or he isn't.
Right.
Regardless of my feelings.
Mm.
I am so impressed with her.
That is a good challenge for sure.
Oh, man. Also, also, her daughter wasn't even there. So she has come to ask for a healing when her daughter's not even present. You remember how Jesus was so stunned at the centurion who said, you don't even have to come to my house. In fact, you shouldn't be under my roof. If you just say the word and my son will be healed.
Yes.
Well, here we are again. We've got another Gentile saying, you don't have to be here. You don't have to come to my house.
Mm-hmm.
Just say the word.
I didn't catch that. So she really believed in him.
She
did.
What
she heard, to seek him out, to worship him, and then to be like, you can heal from
and
here.
And to not be put off.
Wow.
Oh, baby, she was not put off.
That's really impressive.
I am talking to the one who can heal my daughter, and I will keep talking to
I will not leave. I want those little crumbs.
Yes, yes. It makes me think of the passage in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 7:7. You read it in the King James, and it says, ask and you will receive, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be open to you. But the verb for ask is actually continual. So it's keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking.
Mm-hmm.
There's something that happens when we don't give up, when we still trust God with what appears to be a no. It's fascinating to me, but it is, there it is.
There's something he works out in us. Well, it's almost like a humble position for her to know, I am a dog, I'm here for the scraps, but I'm not leaving.
Yeah.
I want even that little bit of what you can offer is enough for me.
Yes. Oh, wow.
Ooh, there's so much here.
Okay, so that's the woman, and now we come to Jesus.
Mm.
So here's my new thing.
Okay.
And then you get to say your things too. I just have been so excited about this. You know what I just kind of realized for the first time in the concept of this passage?
Yeah.
Jesus is human. He's in flesh. Yeah. He cannot work 24/7 as a human. Now, he is also God, but Philippians 2 says he emptied himself to become flesh.
Mm-hmm.
He had to eat.
Mm-hmm.
He had to sleep. He had to take care of his body, his physical body. He felt the aches and pains we feel, right?
Right.
Okay, so I think I kind of forgot that part. He's human. He is flesh, and flesh gets tired. Mm. I'm just getting over a cold. And even though I kind of got through it, I needed to rest more. Mm-hmm. Even though I didn't want to, I wanted to write my book. I'm so excited about my new book. Oh. I couldn't write.
Oh.
My brains wouldn't work.
Right. Your brain's like, we need rest.
That's right. So flesh. So, okay. So Jesus in his humanness needed a rest. Mm. The 40-day fast he had at the beginning proved he wasn't ruled by his body.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he denied himself food and all that. So right. He is in charge of his body, but his body still has needs. Okay? So in the passages before and the passages after this running away to Tyre and Sidon,
mm-hmm.
he was busy. Mm-hmm. People were coming over and over and over. There were crowds all the time. He, I think, went to Tyre and Sidon and found a house where no one knew where he was because his body literally needed rest.
Mm.
It just did. Yeah. It needed rest. And had he, while she's following him publicly, instantly healed her daughter, how many more Tyre and Sidonites would be there?
Right.
You know, and it's not like, I don't think it was that he didn't want to heal them all, but he could feel power go out of him every time he healed.
Mm.
His flesh was weak.
Oh, wow.
He couldn't heal them all in a human form,
right.
You know? So it gave me a little bit more empathy. I'm like, okay, you were given an assignment. And sometimes I'm given assignments. Mm-hmm. I can't simultaneously work in a pro-life pregnancy center, mm-hmm. save women who are sexually trafficked,
mm-hmm.
Work every day giving food to the poor, right? All of us are called.
Yes.
To certain areas of service. We have to be because our bodies are limited.
Yeah, that's a really good point.
So that was my newest sort of, part of it was Jesus needed to rest.
Because we don't often think about his limitation. He was God. He was God. And he could heal people. But to think about the power leaving him when he healed, that's interesting.
Yeah.
I didn't think about that. I had thought that one of the reasons why the tone was a little bit joking or tired was maybe he was really tired. I noted, maybe Jesus was really tired after all that. Because the beginning of that chapter, there's a lot going on.
Oh, he
just
yes.
been healing everyone. And again, you said it too. He had to stay on mission.
Mm-hmm.
He was sent to earth for a specific thing.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't to heal everyone all at once and raise all the dead right there. That's coming.
Yes, that's coming.
That's coming. But that wasn't why he was sent to earth for that time. It was to get to the cross to die, to try to redeem Israel and show them that the Messiah mm-hmm. was there for them.
Mm-hmm.
And then once Israel rejected him, we got to be in his family.
Yes, exactly. And I think all along the plan was to bring the world in.
Yes.
But in a limited human body. He had a specific assignment. And then, of course, his disciples were told very clearly, you go tell everybody,
mm-hmm.
Greek and Gentile and all the people need to know. And poor old Peter, when he had to eat the food that was, you know, not kosher and go to see Cornelius back in Acts, Peter was told very clearly, now is the time.
Right.
We will reach out to the Gentiles specifically.
Right.
But it wasn't the time. And yet, we have the story to show us, no matter how tired he was, that persistence. He's like, all right, then.
Yes.
Let me heal your girl.
And that's why I wonder, too, if he wasn't kind of testing her faith.
Is
she just here for the show, for another healing, and then she's going to go tell everyone, and then more people are going to come like a circus act? Or is she truly here for something deeper?
Yeah.
And I think that with this conversation, when she kneels and worships him and then stays, he can see that this is more than just
absolutely. She calls him Son of David. I mean, she knows
who he is.
She's amazing.
She is amazing. That what courage! I would be really afraid if he wasn't my prophet or coming for me. And clearly, she knew that.
Yeah, and she's
pretty
bold. Even the dogs get the scraps under the table.
Yes.
Right? I mean, that's a snappy little reply. And for all we know, she's that kind of tough woman where that kind of banter felt good to her.
Right.
My sister-in-law, who I love to pieces, scared the socks off of me the first 10 years I knew her.
No.
Because she's a painter and she's kind of tough. And she'd say things to me like, what you do to your hair? You look awful.
Oh, no.
I mean, she didn't even mean to be mean. This was just, honest. I mean, you're just honest. Yeah. And I would go, oh, my hair. I don't, oh, my goodness. You know, because I was so British, right. You know? So, but eventually I learned that when Diane said things like, what you do to your hair? I'd say, I like my hair. Leave me alone.
Right.
Because that's the way she talked.
That's so fun.
Right? It's almost like I had to learn her language.
Exactly. Yeah.
So when Jesus said the thing about the dogs, her snappy response says, okay, they're having something going on here that they both get.
Yes.
Right?
She's quick on her feet. Maybe it was more of a joking conversation.
So who knows?
Because he knows us. Yeah. He knows each one of us and he meets us where we're at. And he finds ways to get to us that we understand.
He does.
And maybe that's what it was. It's just he wanted to talk to her in her language.
And, and she talked, she talked back.
She sure did. Aww.
So, and what else is fun about that? Just thinking about it. She worshiped. She called him Son of David. There was an awe.
Yeah.
But there was also even the dogs get the scraps. Mm-hmm. There was also a realness.
Yes.
And isn't that what God wants from us?
Mm.
He wants the reverence. He is God. Mm. He needs worship. Well, he doesn't need, we need to worship.
Yes.
We worship, but we're also allowed to say, God, I don't understand why you let this happen.
Mm.
We're allowed to be real.
Yeah.
And you kind of see Jesus allowing both in this. And I think it's a good lesson for us.
I like that. I didn't catch that, but you're right. It's so nice not to think we have to just lay there and be so, try to put ourselves in this place of like, how, okay, so perfect and so well behaved that he'll hear me, that we can be authentic and raw and question.
Absolutely.
She's a really good example.
She actually
is. This Gentile dog woman. What a beautiful example she is for us today.
She really is. As so even though I have wrestled with this passage for years, I'm kind of starting to like it.
Yeah. Maybe that 18th and 19th time, it'll just really...
Oh, my goodness. Okay. Well, time to see how it applies to us, because part of reading the Bible is not just an intellectual exercise on, you know, deciding that asking ye shall find is really keep on asking, which is theologically interesting, but how do we apply it to us, right?
Yeah.
So the second part of our podcast is always... okay, how about me? How about you? So, how about you? You start this time.
How about me?
Yeah.
So, first of all, I think I'm really encouraged by her honesty, like you had just mentioned, in approaching God. Because sometimes I think, in just the way we grew up, it was always just very neat and tidy and holy as you approach God.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was afraid to approach him and not be neat and tidy and holy and say the right words. But the more I get to know him, the more comfortable I am to be myself.
Yes.
Even if I'm upset or, God, why do you have this happening? What's going on? I don't understand. I'm still going to worship you. I'm still going to ask, even though you said no and you said no. I'm going to keep asking. And right now, I'm in that season of waiting and seeking him fervently and praying for something that he keeps saying no to. You know, and there's some days where it's especially hard and I have lots of pain. I'm just begging for answers or healing or relief. And he's not answering yes yet.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm still here, and he's still, his presence has become so real in my life, and he's been walking with me through this, that it's not all bad. I can see the benefit of him waiting. I still believe there's going to be an answer soon. I still believe there's a healing.
Uh-huh.
But it's funny, there's a verse that he brought to me the day I came back from the hospital, and it was, I wrote it down, and then I don't have it in here, but it's Philippians 4:16 or 3:16. It's the one that you picked too, and I giggled about that. We have the same verse because of course we do.
Oh, 4:6 and 7.
4:6 and 7.
Do not be anxious about anything.
Yes. That my brain cannot keep numbers straight lately. But I was sitting on the couch and I had touched my phone and that verse came up. I have no idea how it came up. It came up on a pretty like a little screenshot. I was like, what is this? So it must have been something through the Bible app that I had enabled and never used. And I looked at it and I was really stressed about something that I thought was going wrong and thinking about going back to the hospital. And that verse came up about don't be anxious about everything, but in every situation, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, make a request known to God. So I couldn't memorize it then because my brain was not working. So I would say, don't worry, instead pray. Thank God for what he's done. And then tell him what you need. And then he'll guard your heart with peace. And that peace has carried me through so much of this.
Yes.
Knowing that I can go to him and like, it's like a formula now. Like number one, don't worry. tell God what you need. Thank him for what he's already done, because you remember in the past.
Yes.
So, and just not to give up like that woman, continually going to him with the request, even if it's not the answer I want right away.
Yeah. But you're still feeling the need. And as long as you feel the need, you can say, I don't like hurting, Lord. You see it. You feel it. You know it. I really don't like hurting. Mm. I trust you with it, but I don't have to like it, do I, Lord?
Right. I really don't. I don't like these new limits. I keep saying I can do more for you. I can do more without limits. So why these limits all of a sudden?
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I have to trust, and I have to keep going and worshiping and acknowledging that he is God over all of this. And he's using it, maybe not the way I want to be used. I'd like to be used pain-free, please and thank you.
Yes, exactly.
But he's got it.
Yeah.
You know?
A lot of times my phrase has been to God when I go through things like that is, I don't like it, but I do receive it, Lord, because anything that comes to me has passed through your hands first. Right. So there has got to be a good purpose. I don't actually see this purpose, Lord, but I receive what you have allowed.
Yeah.
You know? You get trained by that in some really precious ways. Mm. And honestly, if everything goes well all the time, you can, you know, think God's on your side and you just got the world by the tail, but not have that deeper faith.
Right.
It's the deeper faith where you're like, nothing is going my way, but that doesn't change who you are.
Mm.
And no, that's when our faith grows.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not that it's fun.
No, it's never fun.
No.
There's a quote by C.S. Lewis that I absolutely love. It was, God whispers to us in our pleasure, but he yells to us in our pain. And I think I messed it up. That's okay.
Yeah.
You can look it up. But it's the way he speaks to us more clearly, because we don't hear him when
we just go our merry little way, thinking life is always going to be picnics and roses.
Yes.
Right. Yeah. And when there's pain, we're brought up close to him, because there's nowhere else to go and there's nothing else to do.
Right. Our other options are used up. So we're like, well, poor Jesus, that he's always like the last option. And I love that he doesn't turn us away.
No.
I'm like, well, I've tried everything else. I guess I'll turn to God now.
Yes, exactly.
Thanks for that.
He's always there and his arms are open. Oh my goodness. I love him so, so much.
Mm.
Yeah. Well, that same passage, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving. Mm. That's kind of tricky when you're in pain.
Yeah.
Thank you that I'm still living, I think, although at the moment.
I'm happy to be alive.
Yes. With thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. I like the way you said, after you've done that, then the peace guards your heart. And it's so, so true. I took this seriously for the first time when I started having huge anxiety attacks.
Mm.
I had let my world get smaller and smaller due to worry.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if my daughter fell off her bike, I was picturing, you know, a coma.
Right.
And she just fell off her bike with a helmet, right? If Ray was laid home from work, he died in a car accident.
Mm.
You know, I was going to worst case scenario over and over and feeling all the emotions as if the worst case had happened when actually he was caught in traffic, right? I mean, what a lot of waste. I don't have emotional energy to waste on silliness. But I couldn't seem to stop it, Nicole. And it just got terrible. So I decided to take this verse seriously.
Mm.
And it was a 10-month battle, and I've shared it before in this podcast, where every time my mind went to worry, every time I prayed and I found something to thank God for, I did the verse.
Mm-hmm.
I actually did the verse.
Mm-hmm.
And then, 1 minute later, because I was in such a pattern of worry, back it would come again. But 1 minute later, I would pray again. I would thank again. I just was persistent. And it's the strangest thing, but about 10 months after this whole began, and it was just becoming a rhythm for me, and that peace that I was promised had not shown up, but I was still doing it, it came. I don't understand demons. I actually don't like thinking about them, but I feel almost like I had a... not a demon in me, but a demon picking at me.
Mm.
And it left.
Wow.
Because it got sick of me praying and thanking God every time it bugged me. But it took a long time.
I was going to say, it took 10 months, Sharon. And
it
didn't give up. That's Yeah. We want instant gratification. I do. I want to be out of pain yesterday. Mm-hmm. So we're so tempted to give up. Mm-hmm. So that's remarkable. Mm-hmm. It's good to hear these stories of sometimes it's not instant.
It's not.
Because there's something in us that God is working out that he knows is going to harm us more than that pain or the worry.
Exactly.
So he needs to take it out of us because sin mm-hmm. leads to death.
Mm-hmm. Well, I had built a groove in my brain, right? Mm. A worry groove.
Yeah.
And so almost every thought immediately turned to, how could this be terrible, right?
Right.
And in those 10 months, I built another groove. Mm. When something scary happens or might be scary, the groove I started to fall into was pray and thank, pray and thank, pray and thank, right? But it took just physically in your brain to create that new groove, took time.
Mm-hmm.
So that's now the go-to is, okay, time to pray and thank. Right?
I love that. So much better than worrying and anxiety attacks.
It is. And the peace guards us then in such beautiful, beautiful ways. It's just stunning. Mm-hmm. On another funny little one, when Ray and I got married, he would not pray out loud. He just never did.
Yeah.
I grew up praying out loud. I mean, how hard can it be, Raymond? But for him, it was hard.
Right.
And I had this thing that I wanted him to pray before we went to sleep every night. Mm-hmm. I just liked that. So, but he's like, no, you pray, right?
Aww.
So I'd be in bed with him and I'd say, would you like to pray for us?
Yeah.
No, you pray. I mean, that was like for years.
Yeah.
Probably 8 or 9.
Wow.
And then one night I said it because I guess I have a lot in common with that little woman that was, I just kept bugging him about it. Just gently, you know, and he'd let me pray. He didn't mind me praying.
Yeah.
He said, I'll pray. And now, wow. Nicole, 46 years of marriage, it is our rhythm. He says, come here.
Oh.
And I put my head on his chest and his arms around me, and he prays for us. And he never even asked me to pray anymore. And I'm so good with that. The last words I hear just about from my husband's lips every night is a prayer of blessing over us both and safety and strength for the tomorrow. And
that's
goodness.
So beautiful.
Isn't that the sweetest?
But a long wait.
A long wait.
Another long wait.
Yeah.
But worth it.
But so worth it.
From your big smile. It was worth those 9 years.
It is so lovely. It really is. And because it took a while, I don't take it for granted.
Yeah. Yeah. There's something to that too, I think.
Yeah.
I think God knows. And that's why some things we eat, it is a longer wait.
Yeah. Well, let's pray.
All right.
Speaking of prayer. Oh, Father, we do thank you for even hard stories and hard times. You are real. You are always good. And what you allow comes with purpose. Some days, Lord, it's easier to receive that than others. But help us to know the truth of who you are, even when you allow hard things. And thank you for this persistent woman and the healing of that precious little girl decades and centuries and eons ago. Mm. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thanks for listening in. As we talked about one bold woman's ask of Jesus and his kind and generous actions toward her. And Sharon has an invitation for you today.
I actually do. Here I am again. We are hosting a one-day conference called the Living Water Conference, September 26, 2026. It's in South Portland, Maine. We're trying to keep the cost super reasonable. And I'll be talking about drought. When we don't feel like we've got living water in us at all, I'll be talking about drink. How do we drink Jesus, living water? And then what it's like to be drenched. There'll be workshops. There'll be accessibility for those that cannot hear and those who cannot walk. We want all the people, all the women to come and be blessed. And we have the most wonderful worship leader, just a gentle, precious woman with a guitar. And I think she's going to ask a few guys to help her out. It's going to be a day. You want to come. I know you do. And we would love to meet you, Nicole and me.
Yes.
Nicole and I. Whatever grammar I should be saying here. So go to Sweet Sela Ministries website, which is sweetsela.org, and then search for Living Water Conference, and you'll learn all the things. I hope we see you there.
Sounds great. And don't forget to join us next time for episode 161, Money Troubles. May God bless your day.
Song for me. Oh, love, pay the ransom.